If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiya. Welcome to another episode of Probably True. This week I'm joined by Ray, a listener who got in touch because he wanted to talk about his, I want to say unusual, kink, fetish, sexy time enhancement.
In those 3 months, I revealed my darkest secret to him, which, to his credit and to my excitement, I won't lie, he didn't find all that dark.
If you'd like to chuck your 2 cents in, or if you'd like to be a guest and share a story of your own, join the Discord. The link is in the show notes.
This is Probably True, stories of queer life and even queerer sex. Please be aware that this podcast contains strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
I suppose the thing to know about me is that I'm extremely shy and private. I barely have a social media presence, although I've tried to work on that, but I've also gone through phases of posting lots of things and then cutting stuff off and going back and forth between that. But I have been known to be very active on the apps, as are lots of people. I enjoy getting men all flushed and breathing heavily and lusting them up with a bit of dirty talk. And I suppose, yeah, the safety of sexting outweighs the awkward social interaction that often comes with actually meeting someone in person. And I suppose a lot of people would feel differently to that, but I do have a little bit of social anxiety, so I often bold up to a social meetup, and I think that it's often just a lot nicer to just chat to someone via text or over Messenger or something and have a bit of sexting going on beforehand. It's probably because of that it took about 3 months of sexting before I met the person who is my current partner of 6 years, when he convinced me to eventually meet up with him. In those 3 months, I revealed my darkest secret to him, which, to his credit and to my excitement, I won't lie, he didn't find all that dark. I met him at his flat one afternoon with the stipulation that I have dinner plans with another friend, so I couldn't stay too long. There were no dinner plans. It was an excuse in case things went pear-shaped and I needed to leave. We had a couple of drinks, enjoying the view from his balcony. And I'd seen some photos of him before then, and I was very glad to discover that he was a lot hotter in person and also a great conversationalist. And so these damn dinner plans became a liability. I didn't want to lie to him, so very reluctantly, I didn't want him to know that I lied, is what I should say.
There's a very big difference between us.
Yes. So I didn't want him to know that I lied, so I very reluctantly told him that I needed to leave. He was like, okay, but I haven't done this for you yet. And he quickly went to retrieve a bag of balloons from one of his drawers and began blowing one up while smoking a cigarette. And I just became transfixed and my heart started racing. And when he tied it off and then like quickly popped it with his cigarette, I couldn't help but stick my tongue down his throat, which thankfully he wasn't too fazed about. He seemed to actually enjoy that. So my darker secret, as you've caught on to it, is that I get extremely turned on when a man, or better yet men, pop balloons. Like, and this might sound perverse, but like each and every time I come, which is often, I'm fantasizing about or watching a hot man pop balloons. But I'm just trying to put it into a little bit of context for you. So I suppose the like particular beauty of a balloon is inseparable from its fragility. And for a number of people, most of whom choose to remain anonymous. And so a Google search of balloon fetish reveals a very secretive, clandestine online world of looners, which are people with a fetish for balloons. So there's images of scantily clad women straddling large, colorful balloons, digging their nails or the heel of their stiletto into the latex, will forever change your perception of balloons and their purpose. So there's a whole world of people with a similar kink to mine. I discovered when I was fairly young. I have what I call my naughty Facebook, where I chat and connect with people from around the world, completely independent of my normal Facebook, because I want to keep those two lives separate. And yes, looners, they call us, not because we're loony, like my ex assumed, but rather lunar for the word balloon. There are a number of sites from which I buy kink-specific porn. I mean, I know no one buys porn anymore, really. But if you want to see a stud in a room full of balloons, like take up a pin and naughtily pop them all, there's a cost to that, which I'm more than happy to cover, especially if it's a hot stud. In fact, a student at the University of Columbia who moonlights as an escort revealed that a regular client of his pays him to pop balloons while she watches and masturbates. He told a student-run blog that it's not the strangest request he's ever gotten, but it's probably the easiest.
As kinks go, it's one of the less equipment-intensive ones. You don't need to spend hundreds of pounds on bodysuits or...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of balloons that I have, I do spend quite a bit of money on them, just in terms of quantity, not in terms of quality.
Is there a difference, actually, as whether it's a big birthday balloon or just a standard balloon or the shape or the size or the loudness of the pop or any of those things? Do those matter?
So it differs from person to person, or lunar to lunar, I should say. A lot of people that I've spoken to or that I'm in contact with have very particular things that they like. So some might kink specific balloons, which are generally I know there's a company in Germany that makes, like, I mean, Germans make everything, especially in terms of
kinky stuff. Yeah, that's where all the kinky stuff comes
from. But yes, so there's a balloon fetish company in Germany, and they make a whole range of differently shaped balloons, and like ones that are a lot bigger and get a lot more taut and are often a lot more difficult to pop if you're like sitting on them or whatever. You know, it fights against it.
For teasing purposes. It's like, yes. When's it going to pop? And it kind of dragging out that moment.
Ooh, absolutely.
That's quite sexy in itself, yeah. To me.
A lot of people have a very particular ways that they like balloons being popped and the kind of balloon. So the majority of guys that I've spoken to like the idea of someone else like blowing it up until it pops, and the excitement and the anticipation around that. And I think from my side, it's not that specific, really. I kind of just get excited by a guy at a bar just like popping it with his cigarette, or like cleaning up after a party with a pin or something. It just like really turns me on for some reason. And so instigating those kind of situations, particularly when meeting up with someone on Grindr or something, is a lot easier than I think a lot of other guys find it. I suppose before meeting my current partner, who we'll call Gregory, I was extremely self-conscious about this fetish. The boyfriend I had before Gregory was quite awkward about this part of my sexuality, and I think on the apps, despite my otherwise sexy talk, most of the guys I chatted with were either too weirded out by it or were scared of popping balloons. And I didn't realize at that time that it was probably my intensity around the whole fetish thing, which might have been a turnoff for some, because it's kind of something that I want if I'm meeting up with someone. I am wholly attracted to men, and that's what I want, and I want to be around a man and have gay sex and all of that. But also, if I'm meeting up with someone, I do want the balloon kink involved with that. It's a bit of a stipulation. So I think that it was probably the intensity around insisting that happen may like put some people off. There's, I suppose, the overriding memory I have is from young is like thinking men bursting balloons to be the most like macho and malicious of actions. As a child, I remember hating it. Like, I wouldn't want to be in situations in where there were balloons and people like in the same situation. I would want to hide from that or avoid those kind of situations. As I grew, my feelings changed. And by high school, I was leaving inflated balloons in classrooms and in communal areas in the hopes of seeing like some of the male teachers or some of the older male students pop them. And like the most perfunctory of pops would give me like weeks of masturbation material. I grew older still and I discovered gay bars, and I would like lock myself in the toilet cubicle, inflate a balloon or two, and like as nonchalantly as possible, I'd drop them among the bar's patrons and like make my way back to my table and stuff. And in those situations, and in any other where they, in which there are attractive men and balloons in my periphery, I can't concentrate on anything else. Like I'd watch the balloons like fastidiously, and I'd try to hide the focus of my attention so I don't get found out. And so I've perfected the sideways stare. When a guy like just like casually kicks one up and pops it with the tip of his cigarette, or if he notices a balloon had wafted under his chair and he stomps it, I would have to go to the bathroom to have a quick wank. It's an immediate turn on. I mean, my partner is very adept at knowing what I like and performing that.
Say you're out in public and without you even realizing, you hear a balloon pop nearby or something that you hadn't realized was, would that work too? Is the pop enough, or do you need to kind of see it and know that it's there so that you're in the right kind of space? Does it make a difference?
I would definitely have to see it, and I would have to see that it was a man doing it. So as beguiling as I find them, it's not balloons like themselves or them being destroyed like that appeals to me, but it's a man doing that. Yeah, I mean, I'm gay and men are essential to my fantasy and I'm wholly attracted to them. So the idea of anyone other than a man doing it is, it just doesn't do anything for me. It's not particularly like repulsive or disgusted feeling, or it's just neither here nor there. But if a man pops it, then I'm turned on. I'm not sure exactly when this kink started. I mean, there wasn't a light bulb moment. But I guess when I was growing up, for the longest time, I've always been terrified of balloons and them popping. And then for some reason, and coupled with my gay inclinations, seeing a man just cleaning up after a party became the hottest turn on for me. Just to give you a different perspective, a close friend of mine that I met over my naughty Facebook told me that one of his most fervent memories of boys his age teasing him by popping balloons close to him or around him as he ran away and cowered in a corner. So how this became sexualized, I mean, you can only speculate, but he now enjoys blowing up balloons until they burst while he's fucking or being fucked by another dude. And I think for a lot of Lunars who like the idea of blowing up balloons until they burst or seeing someone of their desired gender doing that, I think that it's probably the sound of the breath that's both deliberate and rhythmic that's going into this orb that can be both comforting and terribly unsettling. And I think, you know, as the balloon nears the brink of bursting, the anticipation is accompanied by feelings of danger and excitement. And when it finally explodes, I think the sound can be utterly overwhelming for them. I think the balloon bursting is almost both deathly as well as orgasmic. So it has that petite mort. My French is terrible, but I think it's sort of linked to that almost in a sense. Bursting balloons is more exciting than it is scary, which is not to say that it's not often quite scary. The stress response that comes with it can be, I mean, however banal or inchoate it might be, is tinged with excitement for a lot of people. For Lunars, that stress response causes arousal, which is a little bit masochistic in terms of the being afraid of it as well as the arousing aspect of it. In that aspect, links it a little bit to BDSM, even though it's a bit of a more banal form of BDSM.
Sounds like a really fun form of BDSM.
So in the Lunar community, it feels so wanky to call it that, but the fetish plays out differently for different people. So for the most part, Lunars are turned on by seeing the person of their desired gender or genders popping balloons. And some people prefer seeing the person blow it up until it bursts, or sitting on the balloons, or stomping. And personally, I get most excited by a non-sexual setting, like cheekily bursting them at a bar or a party or cleaning up. That's the thing that I find most attractive, but obviously it often plays out in different ways, and I'm not averse to that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I was kind of wondering if you were laid in bed having an intimate moment with your lover, whether having two or three balloons nearby to be teased with and then occasionally popped would rock your world, or whether part of it is the lack of importance that other people put on it, if you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I think that it's probably a mix of both. Personally, I'm most turned on by the lack of importance of it in the way that it plays out with my partner specifically. I mean, he obviously knows about it. Our house that we moved in together 2 years ago is constantly covered with balloons. So the more he pops, the more I blow up. And so our sexual experiences or times, like whether it's on the couch or whether it's in the bed or whether it's on the dining room table, often involves him like picking up a few during sex or before or after, and having a bit of a teasing with it. And so I've experienced it in both a more sexual way and a more non-importance, nonchalant way. And I think that they both have their place.
Have you ever been clocked for it? Have people ever noticed that you're enjoying it or that you've put those balloons there or anything like that?
Yes, and yes, I have. So there is quite a front street around the corner from where we live with quite a number of bars. One of them is a particularly gay bar, though not exclusively. And the owner there, I won't name him, him and I became quite close friends. And he would often be like, but like, where do all of these balloons come from? And they like all around the place and stuff, and end up like popping them and whatever, and getting his waiters to pop them. And then one evening I just sat with him and I told him, look, so this really turns me on. And then he said, oh my goodness, it's you. And subsequent to that, he's had many Friday and Saturday night evenings where he's decorated the whole place full of balloons, and then texted me and was like, come over, there's lots of balloons around, I'll get people to pop them, and aww, you can enjoy yourself. And then I've sucked him off a few times. as thanks, you know, I have to be, yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that you thanked him because you wanted to, not because you felt you had to, not like it was some kind
yes,
of...
Yes, no, I was yeah, very happy to, yes.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, good.
Yes.
That's very sweet of him to enable that for you and make you feel that it's not such a big deal. Like you say, like you keep it very separate from the public side of yourself. Kink allies, people who are happy to help you get your rocks off.
A lot of the people that I speak to over my naughty Facebook try to be as anonymous and vague about it as possible, and feel quite self-conscious about possibly telling people, like possible sexual partners or current sexual partners, about it, and so initiate situations for it to happen without telling them. So like picking up a current sexual partner in their car and happening to have three balloons there and say, they went to a party last night and they just happened to be there, or they like making up excuses for something to be there and then suggesting that they pop it, and then being really turned on by it and having really great sex, but not actually being very upfront about the reason for that. And I think one of the reasons that I became a lot more comfortable with it and felt a lot more easier is because my current partner is very easy about it himself. When I was chatting with him just on the apps and after meeting up with him, I'd like let him know, you know, I'm very secretive about this and I don't want people to know. And he was like, it's just fucking balloons. Like, who gives a shit? And I think after that, he made it very easy for me to come to terms with it. And the way that I think that I now communicate with other people and also telling my experiences to other lunars, they almost feel like I wish I could feel this amount of freedom, you know, around it and just be as easy with it. We travel around the world lots and lots, and we love seeing different countries and different places and all of that. And he enjoys the whole teasing aspect of it. So blowing up some balloons as we're walking down like a particularly gay street and brandishing it about and going to a bar and playing this tourist thing and getting men to pop them and saying it's a South African tradition. And he's like just very, very fun with it and very easy with it. Where I think that for me, because it's been like such a turn on for such a long time and I've known to keep it hidden, that I'm always very aware of it and very self-conscious. But I think he's made it the opposite and he's made me very, a lot more comfortable with it than I've ever have been. And I think that that's also one of the reasons I'm able to talk to you right now.
And I'm really glad that you do feel able to talk about it, because for you, it must feel like a much bigger deal than it does for me, because...
Yeah, absolutely.
How sweet and loving is that? Like, having someone who's not only going to be like, yeah, okay, we can do this, but is actually going to have some fun with it.
I think that one of the reasons that he is so easy around or tries to heighten this aspect of my sexuality particularly is because the repercussions for him is very enjoyable. he has quite a lot of things that he's into. He's very loving, he's very intimate, he's very caring. He also loves being fucked multiple times. And I think that he's seen how hard something like that makes me. And he thinks it's very, very easy to make it happen. And so he's like, yeah, sure, let me just like... ask this guy to pop balloons and then you can be hard all through dinner and then we can go back to our Airbnb and you can fuck me six times. It's a symbiotic relationship.
If one of his kinks was public sex, it would be very easy to get you in the mood anywhere in the world just by kind of... And then you just have to like do him against a tree somewhere or something and both of you would be ticking your boxes at the same time. I love that. That's hot.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Something like that hasn't really happened yet, but he likes the idea of someone being turned on with him for quite a while and walking around and it's like, okay, well, can we just do it now? And he's like, no, just hang on, just hold on. I just want to have a look at the shop here and I just want to, and like, I really just want to go home and fuck right now. Or like, can I just have your cock in my mouth? let's just go to this bathroom. And he's like, no, just give me a few minutes. We'll go home. And so I think that kind of teasing element is probably something that he enjoys. Not so much the public element, but the fun drawing it out. Whereas mine is, okay, I'm really horny now. I'm really excited. Let's just get this on. And I think he's like, no. About 3 weeks ago, we were in Istanbul. We were walking down one of the massive busy streets there. And there's lots of bars and clubs and stuff on the side. And it was fairly early. And so they were cleaning up after the night before, obviously. And this bunch of guys, like, brought out these columns of red balloons and stuff. And they put them on a dumpster. And then one of them lit a cigarette and started popping them. And my boyfriend was like, did you plan this? And I'm like, no, but I want to stand right here and watch this. He's like, yeah, sure, but we don't want to look too weird, so maybe we can go inside. And I'm like, no, I'm standing right here and just and watching him burst all of these balloons. And Gregory got fucked about seven times when we got home after that.
Wow. Does the guy popping the balloon matter too much? Like, if that was that waiter particularly hot, did it make you more sexually attracted to him, or were you just horny?
Yes.
Oh, yes, so it does. Okay.
I mean, if it's someone that I'm not particularly attracted to, then it might heighten their attraction a little bit. But if it's someone that I find very attractive, then them doing that like gives me an instant boner and really wants me to. At particular bars at certain times, I've often like come in my pants just seeing guys pop balloons without touching myself at all, just sitting having my beer, and there's someone just over there and he's just like popped one and then like is bending over to get another one and then pops it, and then I'm just sitting there going like it with my mouth and my beer going, oh my fuck, and trying to be as inconspicuous as possible but actually just coming while sitting down. And it's not something that happens very regularly. Also, as I'm getting older, it happens less frequently. But I think it's also the frequency with which the kink or the fetish is able to play out in my life at the moment, where things aren't very hidden, where the only people that I really don't want to know about it are my work colleagues and my family, really. But I don't really mind if anyone else knows about it or has any issues with it. The way that I bring it up in conversation with different people, with potential sex partners, where my partner and I would have threesomes with them or anything like that, I think that the frequency with which that happens has almost taken away from some of the instant sex responses of coming immediately. Not in a bad way.
It's nice to be able to prolong that pleasure. But there is something quite sexy about the idea of just not being able to contain yourself and just like you say, coming in your pants, not even touching yourself, but you're just like, tingly.
Yeah.
So how did you start to find other Lunars? Like, how did you know that there would be a community, and how did you find your community?
I'm not the youngest of people, so when I remember the birth of the internet, or, you know, in the 90s when things became popular, and so it was something that I searched, and there were probably about like two balloon fetish sites, gay balloon fetish sites specifically, that were amazing, but I was too young then to have a credit card and to pay for those videos, so I just watched like the previews and wank over those.
Sometimes that's enough, I've found.
Yes, like, yeah, definitely.
Oh, here's a 1 minute clip of a 25 minute video. Do you want to pay $12 to? No, this will do.
No, yeah, just the 1 minute.
See what I need.
Good enough. Yeah.
Thanks.
So after exploring those sites, I did quite a lot of research after that, and I found out that it's been around for quite a while. And there is this Lunar in the Lunar community who's called Buster Balloon Guy. And he has started a sort of like postal service that was pre-internet, where people were exchanging letters and were like exchanging like naughty ideas and naughty stories and stuff around the world, and it was all like via the postal service. This was before my time, and also something that I was very surprised to learn, because I just assumed that it was like over the internet that things just exploded and people started connecting. But actually, it seems that a lot of the connections had happened prior to that, and things like Facebook and Instagram and have just made it a lot easier for people to send instant messages and request videos and share experiences and share histories and make a lot of sense of it.
I think it must help when your kink is so, not so much niche, but more that it's not going to get banned by censors. It's not like you're sticking like huge things up your bum, or, I mean, maybe you are, up to you. No, we're not talking about that today. But or you're not like into anything that's going to be immediately banned by the censors. That must make it a lot easier, because you can use kind of the public networks to find each other a bit.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And are there dedicated places that you would go, or is it mostly through the kind of the same networks that boring people would use?
Well, number one, I don't think anyone's boring, but...
Oh, I know some very boring people.
Oh, do
well
you?
Done, okay. You for only having interesting friends. Good for you.
Oh. For me personally, I generally tend to use Facebook and Instagram to connect with people, but there are quite a number of Luna-specific porn sites that that just cater to either gay Lunas or straight Lunas or people into a variety of different genders and all of that. But it's specifically models or porn stars that are around balloons and popping balloons in the way that people want. And yeah, I mean, there's probably, if I off the top of my head, about four different ones of those where you can buy videos for fairly cheap, like around $5 or so, and it does its job.
Have you been to any meetups? Are there conferences where Lunas from around the world all come together to make a mess in their pants at the same time kind of thing? Or would that just descend into a massive orgy, do you think?
I think that idea would most likely descend into a massive orgy, which Hello. Sounds fantastic.
What a shame.
So I do know of particular Lunas who have arranged meetups. I have arranged meetups with Lunas from my own country. There's one based in Cape Town who I've met up with a few times, and we've just met up on a purely platonic basis, exchanged some gifts and went out for a few drinks and had a nice chat, and that's all good. And I've met up with some Lunas around the world, and it generally doesn't turn into an orgy as much as it just turns out into a conversation of, oh my God, it's so nice to meet someone who actually has the same thing, and let's just chat about this and let's just try and make sense of it, and there is someone other than myself. And
that's a proper kind of community rather than just finding people to shag or pop.
Yes, yeah.
So would balloon animals do it for you as well? If someone took one of those big long sausagey balloons and turned it into something, would you watching them do that have any kind of effect? Or is it that it's not being popped that doesn't really work?
One of the very funny things was Halloween last year. We were at a bar around the corner, one of the bars, Hell's Kitchen, and there was this hottie, blonde hair, probably around 28 years old, like sitting down.
Oh yeah, I know him. Carry on.
Yeah. Blowing up his long balloons with a pump, tying them off and like making little balloon animals and handing them out to people. It was probably around midnight and handing them out to people like all around and encouraging them to fight with it and stuff. And Paul was like, he's probably a Luna. And I was like, no, man, he's just... and then Paul was like, yeah, I think he is. Let's go and get two swords, come on. And then we went to him and then we asked him, so can you make us two balloon swords? And he was like, yeah, sure. And he made it and he just turned it in, and then he handed one to me and one to Paul, and then we started sword fighting, and then Paul took both our swords and just like tore them apart. And that guy was like, oh my goodness.
Got ya.
There's different balloons and different circumstances that turn other people on in different ways. I regret to this day not like actually going up to him and to say, oh, like, can we have a quick chat? Because I also find something very similar, very, very arousing. But at that time, I was just a bit awkward and a little bit weird and a little bit too drunk. And I was like, no, actually, I don't want to meet anyone now. And aww. I regret that. I should have just went up to him.
Well, if he's listening right now, he can get in touch. That's the perfect way to make sure that you're enjoying your fetish, is to get other people involved without them realizing.
I don't know if that's the most ethical way of it, but my previous partner that I've spoken with around this, where he wasn't very comfortable with the whole situation and didn't really like the idea of balloons being involved in a sexual setting and didn't like the fact that it became a turn on. And so it wasn't something that we really explored too much. But then also us like going to bars and stuff, the only way that I could get my rocks off was to blow up balloons in the bathroom and get guys to pop them in a bar or whatever, and then go home and fuck him. I sort of brought up the idea of, you know, trying to make sense of the ethics around that, is that, you know, if someone doesn't know that they're turning on, but you sort of coercing them to do that, how does the ethics around that work? Even though it's something that might seem quite banal to a lot of people and they're doing it out of their own volition, but not knowing what the repercussions of that are. And I suppose I haven't been able to answer that for myself, only because I'm also very involved in it and it's something that I quite enjoy, but I don't actually know how I feel about that. I do think it is a bit of a gray area.
Yeah, it's an interesting ethical question in that you're enjoying it. They are unaware that you're enjoying it. And often people will pop balloons just because that's what people like to do. If they knew, would it change their behavior? And if not, do they need to know? Since it's very interesting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because obviously, like, the feeling would be that the best way to be would be to make sure that everyone involved is aware that what they're doing is has a sexual connotation for someone. But at the same time, say when you were in Istanbul, if you'd kind of gone over the road and gone, excuse me, I'm really into this. Could I just watch you pop all these balloons? Yeah. They're going to go,
what? Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you just standing there and watching, I suppose it's...
There were a lot of people around, so I hope I didn't stand out too much. But it was also the first night that we arrived, and I kept walking past that bar, hoping to see something similar, and it didn't happen.
Every morning, just popping by to see if they've got more balloons. I love it. Yeah. Oh. What advice would you have for someone who found themselves in a similar situation? Let's say, not necessarily looning exactly, but they have a kink that they enjoy, but they are very nervous, or they don't know how to share it with people who they want to share it with.
It's something that you need to think about in terms of the way that it affects someone else. I think that for me, that's something that I always need to consider in terms of how kinks play out and the honesty around that, and also the effect that it has on another person. And not hurting someone else either psychologically or physically without their consent. And I think that once that boundary has been established, then I think you just need to find or speak to the right person. It's a lot more difficult than it seems, but to speak to a confidant that you feel might be a lot more accepting than judgmental, or a friend. It doesn't have to be someone sexual. It doesn't have to be someone that you have any interest in or anything like that. But I think just allowing your innermost thoughts to be heard, even if it is a therapist or someone like that, makes a world of difference for anything that anyone likes in particular. There is going to be someone else around the world that likes something similar. It's a big world, and there's billions of people, and so in all likelihood you're going to find someone online, and it's a very easy space to Google stuff and to find someone that you can, that has something similar to you and you can connect with and you can talk to and make sense of it for yourself with them.
And it's nice to find that community as well. There's no need to feel like you're alone and you're weird and you're wrong with stuff like this, because it, like you say, ultimately you're not hurting anyone. There's nothing wrong or bad about this. It's just part of what makes people people. And that's great.
Yeah. If anyone does want to get in touch with me particularly, they can contact me on my naughty Facebook. I'm happy to have chats there. My name is S.A. Popper on Facebook. And yeah, I'm happy for them to send messages and we can chat and figure things out if they need to.
That was Probably True, the multi-award-winning storytelling podcast created to remind all of our queer siblings that we are none of us alone. If you like what you heard and you want me to keep doing it, you can support the show at patreon.com/probablytrue.
And if you do join the Discord, you can join us on a Sunday evening for a hangout and a chat. We do a meetup every Sunday, 8 p.m. UK time. I did the first one this week and it was really fun. We talked about why you shouldn't drink when you're on Viagra, tacky furniture, spicy Italians, accidentally inventing a robot penis, and all sorts of other weird and filthy shit. Between those times, there's always memes, there's chats, there's random bits of slutty gossip from my life and anyone else who cares to share. The link's in the show notes. Hopefully I'll see you soon. Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.